Can you hear me? Good. All right. Well, I always have to kind of take a look at my notes and see if I can see them with my glasses on or with my glasses off. So I think I'll take my glasses off, if you don't mind. Tony, thank you so much for the introduction this morning, and I also wanted to thank you personally for your hospitality. I've been really blessed to spend the night at Tony and Maylene's house, and boy, what a beautiful place, and great breakfast this morning, and it's just been really nice to be here in Coral Springs, Florida. You know, we've served 23 years in East Asia. We are IMB missionaries. You know, we're your missionaries. I don't know if you realize that or not, but as a Southern Baptist church, as you give to the cooperative program, a portion of that is given to really to five different agencies. The Southern Baptist Convention is made up of 47,000 churches, and as each one gives, a portion of it goes to one of the five agencies. We are so blessed as the International Mission Board to receive about 50% of what goes to the cooperative program. So there's also the International Mission Board, which our work is to take the gospel to all of the unreached places throughout the world and to strengthen existing churches so that they will have the same vision to go to the unreached peoples and places. There's also the American Mission Board, and we also have five different seminaries. We also have the Women's Missionary Union, and we also have Lifeway. So those are all the agencies that you support through the cooperative program, as you give to the cooperative program. I don't know what percentage the church gives to the cooperative program, but whatever it is, I thank you so much in the name of the Lord. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering, however, which is today, I guess, at your church, you're taking a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. 100% of Lottie Moon Christmas offering comes to support international missions, supports the International Mission Board. So when you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of those funds come to support international missions. None of it stays in Richmond in our main office. None of it stays in Nashville at our convention office. 100% of it comes to the field for our work on the field. And our work on the field is broad, and I'll talk a little bit about that today. I have one wife, which I've discovered is definitely enough. She's a wonderful woman. I met her in Tampa when I moved from Detroit, Michigan, where I was born. Moved to Tampa when I was 22 years old to work. And when I moved, I had no earthly idea how blessed I was going to be by, number one, meeting a godly woman. Number two, living in Florida, which is quite a blessing. Counter blessings if you're living here. Believe me, we just came from Pennsylvania. Much better to be here in Florida today. And number three, we have three wonderful children. Two of them were actually born in Winter Park, Florida, and one of them was born in East Asia in Taipei. So one of them's 28 years old, and he's studying biomedical engineering. That's a mouthful. He's working on his MD, PhD at a school called Emory in Atlanta. And our oldest daughter, Maggie, she is actually working for an organization in Boston called Boston Ivy, to where they do language exchanges. Her main office is actually in Beijing, but she has an office in Cape Cod, actually, on Cape Cod, and they do language exchanges. So they'll bring students over from Beijing, stay for a couple weeks, and they'll go into the school systems, and vice versa. We send students from here over to Beijing, and they study there as well. So that's what she does. She's a project coordinator for them. And then we have our youngest, who was born in Taiwan, who speaks Mandarin far better than Beverly and I do. And she went to school in Taiwan from kindergarten all the way through fourth grade in the public schools, and then we transferred her into an English-speaking school for a variety of reasons, and personally, we can talk about that later, but there were a lot of reasons why we did that. But then she graduated from Morrison Academy, and then she went on to Messiah College, and she's studying nursing now, and she's 20 years old. So that's our family. And all three of our kids were really raised in Taiwan. And again, I want to thank you because it's the support of the Southern Baptist churches that has allowed us to not only live and to thrive and to see God do really great and miraculous things throughout East Asia, but to also have a home life that was excellent, to be honest with you. I mean, because of your support, we've been able to raise three kids on the field. And, you know, we had a car to drive. I mean, it's a you know, a 1996 Ford, which I praise God that it was a Ford, being from Detroit and all. I'm very thankful for that. But it was getting old. But at any rate, we're thankful for everything that the Lord has provided for us. And again, it's because of your gifts and offerings. And I want to thank you again for that. So I think that was three thank yous. I think that's about how many we're supposed to do. Thank you. Thank you again. Okay. So my message today is a pretty simple message. And it's a message that probably, if you read the Bible, you would be aware of Jesus on the seashore telling Peter to go out and catch some fish. He catches fish. He comes in and he leaves with Jesus and he becomes one of his disciples. That's the story in a nutshell, but there's so much more. We're going to unpack this story so that we can learn a little bit more, I think, about what God and his Holy Spirit wants us to learn. I believe that the Bible was written by God, inspired completely by God and the Holy Spirit, given to men to write down, and has been kept perfectly to today. So that what we have and what we read today is God's word. It's not something that was thought up by man, but this is God's word that we're looking at. This particular passage, which I would like to, if we can, if everybody would stand up, I'd like to read it one more time, if that's okay with everybody. Okay? All right. Let's read it together. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen hard all night but caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they became and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll catch fish." When they had brought their boats to the lake, they left everything and followed him. Please sit down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for another day in which you've given to us. This is the day that you have made, and we rejoice in it. Father, we thank you for the power and might of your Holy Spirit. We pray for your anointing today. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill each one of us. We pray that you would be our teacher today, and that you would enlighten us, that you would help us to learn more and more about who our Lord Jesus is, what you would have us to do, how you would have us to obey you, where you would have us to go to serve you. Father, we thank you for the privilege to serve you in this day and this time. I thank you for your word, which you've given to us. We thank you for your grace, which you pour out so freely into our lives. I pray now that you would just open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear from you today. I pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So the background of this story is this is really early in Jesus' ministry. He's really already been tempted three times by the devil. And he's also healed a few people. And he's also cast out some demons. So Jesus is already beginning to gain a reputation of being somebody that's very, very different than everybody else. Now he's standing by, this is also the Sea of Galilee. The place that's called the Lake of Gennesaret is also the Sea of Galilee, same place. And it's 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, and 141 feet deep. And actually in those days, it was actually a very busy place. The Roman government had given, they didn't really give licenses, but they kind of gave approvals for people to fish in this lake. And there were at least 200 other boats out there that were competing all the time with Peter and James and John. and his brother Andrew. Really two boats. So we see from this story that there's already people that want to hear Jesus speak. They want to hear the word of God because they've already heard that he can do some very special things. So it says in everything, now that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, they were listening to the word of God. They had a hunger and thirst already to hear the word of God. So Jesus was standing by the lake and wanting people to hear the word of God. Jesus's goal here is for people to hear the word of God. Has that goal of Jesus Christ changed today? It has not. Jesus's goal, even today, is for more and more people to hear the word of God. Now, how does Jesus do this at this particular point in time? Remember, they didn't have amplification. There were no churches for him to stand on a platform in front of 300 people and preach. It didn't exist. There was not a church. So Jesus was being surrounded. He had people just all around him at the lake. Well, Jesus wants more and more people to hear. So he takes a look at the local resources that are available. He takes a look. He sees people washing their nets. And he sees a couple of boats. He sees two boats that are sitting there. Now these boats, I don't know if you've ever wondered about the boats, what they look like. Well, they're 27 feet long, about 7 feet wide. They were made out of Lebanese cedar. They were expensive. You know, for someone to loan somebody a boat was a pretty big deal. And so Jesus asked Peter to put out just a little bit from the shore. Why did he do this? Why did he ask Peter to do this? Well, I think I just said it a few minutes ago. He wanted more and more people to hear him clearly. I don't know if you've ever stood in a crowd and tried to speak to people. You've got some people behind you, you've got some people on the sides. But when I'm standing, like I'm standing in front of you today, if I didn't have this mic on, it would be difficult for people to hear me behind. So Jesus gets in the boat, sits down, and begins to preach so more and more people can hear him. That was his goal at that moment in time, for people to hear the word of God. Pastor did a remarkable job last night of explaining who this Jesus is. We know now who Jesus is. At that point in time, most people really didn't understand that he was the Son of God, that he was, in fact, the Word that became flesh, that lived among us, the actual creator God in the flesh. People didn't quite know that just yet. But they did know, and Peter especially knew something special about Jesus. This is not the first time that Peter meets Jesus. Actually, Andrew, Peter's brother, introduced Peter to Jesus. This happens in John. So he's already met him at least once. But then again, right before this passage, we see Jesus do a miraculous healing. He heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. So this is already the third time that he's come in contact with Peter. So he kind of knows Peter. He's already got a little bit of relationship with him. So he tells Peter to move out a little bit from the shore. And he begins to preach. And he finishes preaching. And then he does something other than just wanting people to hear the word of God. So he shifts and he says to Peter, put out into the deep water. Let down your nets for a catch. Well, Peter, who was a professional fisherman. This is what Peter did day in and day out. He fished. Did he just fish and, you know, cut a couple flays up and take them home? No. I mean, he would look for a catch of fish and take them to the marketplace, sell them, support his family, support a lot, you know, give the community something to eat. I mean, this was his profession. This is what he did. He's a professional fisherman. So Jesus tells him, go out there. Jesus is a carpenter. Do you see any kind of conflict? I mean, there's a little conflict there. You've got a carpenter who just finishes preaching from his boat, turns around and tells a professional fisherman that fished all night, now, hey, go out there, let down your nets for a catch. Well, Peter actually, if you read this closely, he complains a little bit. It's not like he automatically obeyed Jesus and said, all right, man, I'm going. He didn't. He actually says, you know, Jesus, you know, we fished all night last night and didn't catch a thing. But because you're asking me to do it, I'll do it. So, Peter argues with Jesus a little bit, but then he goes and does it. Now, one reason why I want to, and again, I'm trying to help us to go just a little bit deeper and unpack this story a little bit more. It's really a big deal because they were already on the shore, washing their nets, cleaning up their boats. The boat was still sitting there tethered to the side probably, and Jesus asked him to go out a little bit so he could preach. But now, to get a crew of 5 people, and that's what they had in these boats. They would have 2 people on each side rowing, and then 1 person up in front kind of telling them where to go if they see fish or if they see a storm coming to turn around. So they had 5 people. So there was a big investment for Peter. If you think about it, there was truly an investment of time. There was an investment. He had to pay these deckhands, if you want to call them that. He needed to pay these men to go out together with him for this catch of fish that he didn't think were even there. Peter didn't really, I'm not sure, I think he was probably having what we would call a crisis of belief at that moment in time. It's kind of like, we've got a carpenter telling me to go out and fish. I fished last night, what am I doing? I don't want to do that. At any rate, he went and he did it. Well, the results. What do we see? Because Peter believed Jesus in that moment of time, he believed Jesus' words in that moment of time. He went out, let down the nets for a catch, and caught more fish than the nets could hold. Another very important principle here is that Peter called in his partners to help. He called in his partners to help. You know, I live in an area where there 1/4 of the population of the entire world lives in East Asia. The language that most, 1.3 billion people speak the language of Mandarin. 400 and some thousand speak English, and about 6 or 7 speak Spanish. So the most spoken language in the world is Mandarin, by far, almost triple any other, as a heart language, as a first language. You know, we have so many opportunities, so many open doors, so many places where the gospel needs to be presented, where people are hungry. When we do present the gospel, people respond. Just like when we throw down the net and we have a catch. It's the same thing. There's not enough. Not enough missionaries. There's not enough helpers. There's not enough partners to get the work done. So that's what my wife and I do. We look to partner with churches to help us with that catch, to help us bring in more and more fish. Just as we'll see at the end of this message, Jesus says, follow me, I'm going to make you become a fisher of men. That is what we are looking at with that catch of people, that catch of souls. We need partners, just as Peter needed partners to bring in that catch. We also, as the IMB, as East Asia Affinity Group, need help, need partners to help bring in this catch of souls, this catch of people, of human beings that want to hear about Jesus, that want to be discipled, that want to go to other nations to finish the task of everybody hearing Jesus' words. Starts with everyone wanting to hear Jesus' words, this passage. These people want to hear Jesus speak. Jesus speaks to them. The next part of the passage, we see Peter obeying and believing what Jesus says, and he goes. Then he calls in his partners, and we see great and incredible blessings that happen. Well, Peter is so astounded that a carpenter just told him to go out and do his job, and he did it. And there was such a great catch of fish that Peter has just the kind of really unique response, right? What does Peter say? Anybody remember? Whoops, went the wrong way. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Go away from me." So at that moment in time, after Peter sees this miraculous catch of fish, because Peter is a professional fisherman, knows his job, but all of a sudden someone else, this Jesus, tells him to do this, he sees a miracle happen and experiences a miracle. And he begins to realize who Jesus is. Later on, we know through Scripture, when Jesus asks him, "Who do you say that I am?" And that is the question of the ages. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, Peter right here realizes that he's a sinful man and that he is in the presence, perhaps of a holy God, somebody that is far above and beyond him. He says, "Go away from me. I am sinful." The idea being that he's sinful, Jesus is not. Jesus is the holy God. Jesus is God, perfectly and completely holy. The only human being that ever walked the earth that didn't sin. The only human being that didn't sin. I think we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Peter certainly had he had that crisis. I believe he's saying this because he had that crisis of unbelief just a few minutes before he saw this miraculous catch. "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." Does Jesus discipline him in any way? No. But he doesn't coddle him either. Jesus says to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Well, this is Christmas time, and we all love the Christmas story. And you know, when the angel came down and spoke to Mary and said, "You can have a baby. What do you mean I have a baby? I'm a virgin. How's that going to happen?" "Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And you'll give birth to the Messiah." Well, you've got some shepherds up in the fields. All these angels come around and say, "The Messiah's been born. Go and see him." "Don't be afraid." So Jesus, in his earthly ministry, beginning his earthly ministry, tells Peter, "Don't be afraid. Come, follow me. And I'm going to make you fishers of men." So I believe that this passage can help every one of us in this coming year, and really in the rest of your life. And I believe that there's some prerequisites that we can see in this passage that will help us to live a blessed life and help us to receive blessings directly from God. I just love that word, blessing. You know, in Chinese it has such a more deeper meaning probably than it does at Fuji. It's just so much deeper to the Chinese culture than it is to us. And we say, "Oh, bless you in the name of the Lord." That sounds good, but it doesn't have quite as deep a meaning as it does in Chinese. The blessings. Well, we see multiple blessings in this passage. How do we receive? Well, every person that was sitting and listening to Jesus from the boat got to hear the word of God. And so that was their first prerequisite for receiving any kind of blessing. Peter had to hear Jesus speak to him before he could receive any blessing from God. He heard God speak to him, and he was blessed. He heard all the people that were listening to Jesus preach that day were receiving blessings directly from God. I think whenever God speaks to us, he blesses us. Sometimes it's not in a way that we would expect. Sometimes it is. In this particular case, hearing the word of God was an amazing blessing to each person in that entire area. We got to hear Jesus preach. Peter got to specifically hear Jesus say, "Go out to the deep." He got to hear Jesus specifically say to him, "Don't be afraid." He got to specifically hear Jesus say to him, "Come, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men." I don't know if you realize it or not, that right now at this point in history, you are extremely blessed because you get to hear the word of God. You have the Bible that you can read. You have an excellent pastor, English pastor, an excellent Chinese pastor. You get to hear the word of God at least once a week. I hope you get to hear it more than that. I hope you get to maybe on the radio or wherever. You are blessed because you get to hear the word of God. Do you know that there are still over 3,000 unreached, unengaged people groups, ethno-linguistic people groups on the face of this earth today that do not get to hear the word of God? They do not have any access to the word of God. They obviously were never on the shores of the Sea of Galilee to hear. They aren't in the United States. But there are thousands of unreached people groups. Now, what is that? What does an ethno-linguistic unreached people group mean? Well, it's a group of people that have their own language. They have their own culture. They probably live in a confined area. And for some reason or another, the gospel, the words of God, have not yet gotten to them. That is an unreached, unengaged people group. And there are still thousands of them throughout the world. Many of you have as your background China. Maybe some of you came out of China. Some of you came out of Korea. Well, there's still 130 unreached people groups just in China. Now, some of them might have one or two believers, but there's no church. There is no strategy in which to share the gospel. There is no way for the word to continue to get to the rest of the people group. So that's what an unreached, unengaged people group is. Everybody kind of understand that now? Unreached, unengaged people group? If you don't understand it, not say this. Everybody got it? If you got it, raise your hand. Unreached people group, you understand it? Really? Okay, good. I wanted to make sure before I left today that you understood that completely. There are still thousands of people in this world now that don't have that same blessing of hearing the word of God. That means they've never had a chance to say, "Yes, I want to go into the deep. Yes, I want to let down for a catch." They've never had any opportunity at all. That is what we do as missionaries. We want all of the world to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel. We see in Revelation 7 at the very end, after Jesus has came back, after he has established his kingdom, that there will be one from every tongue, every nation, every tribe, every people group worshiping Jesus Christ. That will happen. That is God's work. He is always about getting the gospel to the unreached people groups. He's been doing it since the days Jesus began with Paul, with Peter. Peter was the first missionary. He actually left the Jewish people, went to Cornelius' house, who was a Greek, and shared the gospel outside of his own culture. He did mission work. Paul, when he left, he went to Antioch. He went to Philippi. All of the book of Philippians, written from jail to the Philippian church, which was a church that was not a Jewish church. It was a church that was made up of a whole other culture. He was a cross-cultural missionary, taking the gospel to people who had not yet ever heard it. That's what Paul did. Peter, as we see, went out into the deep. Peter was willing to put everything aside when Jesus said, "Come follow me." The Bible says that he left everything behind. What that means is he left that boat made out of this fancy wood, his huge investment. He left that behind along with two massive catches of fish. And he went, he followed Jesus. Why? Because he believed, he heard Jesus' words and believed them. And that's the next thing that we all have to do in order to receive blessings from God. We have to believe the word of God. If I keep saying that Peter probably had a crisis of faith for a minute, but it was a short second because he did what Jesus asked him to do. He believed that if he went out there, dropped down his nets, that there would be a great catch of fish. I don't think he would have did it if he didn't really believe it. So he went out and he did it because he heard the word of God and he believed the word of God, so he went and he did it. So Peter was blessed. Now, he also obeyed the word of God. How many times does Jesus give a commandment just in this passage? There's at least five that I know of. First one, he says, just put out from the shore so that I can preach, right? Jesus gives him a commandment. Jesus talks to you, it's a commandment. Jesus says something to you, it's a commandment. So he says to him, just put out from the shore a little bit. Then he says, go into the deep. Then he says, let down the nets. So already we're up to three. Then he says, don't be afraid. It's another one. And then he says, come follow me. So at least five commandments. He obeyed. Peter and these other disciples that were with him all obeyed the word of God. Now, we're talking about blessings. How was Peter blessed? Well, obviously got to hear the word of God, which is always a blessing. That's a little more abstract. Let's go down to the material. Let's flesh this out a little bit. How was Peter actually blessed? Well, he just caught a whole bunch of fish. He's a fisherman, a professional fisherman. He has now one full ton of fish because each one of these boats can hold a half a ton. If you put more than half a ton in, they start to sink down. And the Bible says that they started to sink down. So they had at least a half a ton of fish in each one of these. So he was blessed materially. Peter was. There's more blessings, though. Let's keep going down the blessing list. Blessing number two, his partners. Because Peter obeyed. Peter heard the word. He believed the word. He obeyed. His partners were also blessed. They also had half a ton of fish to deal with, which was their livelihood, too. That was their work. That's what they needed. What about the community? What are they going to do with all those fish? They're just going to bring them on the shore and leave them sitting there? Nope. Those fish are going to be sold. People are going to eat them in their homes. So the entire community was blessed because Peter obeyed Jesus Christ. And finally, you and I are blessed because we have this record of Peter hearing, believing, and obeying. Today I want to challenge each one of us, including me. Number one, are you hearing the word of God regularly? Are you believing what you read? After you believe it, are you obeying it? Are you doing it? We know the entire story of Jesus. Most of us that have been here in church for a while know that Jesus was born of a virgin. He was put into that little manger, and that's what we look at this time of year, and it's a beautiful story. And then we know he lives a perfect and sinless life. But then we also know that he dies a very brutal death. And he dies on your behalf and on my behalf. He allows, because he's God, and he needs to be the blood sacrifice for each one of us. He, Jesus Christ himself, in our place, the punishment that I deserve because I'm a sinner. I have a friend that says, have you ever lied? And I said, yeah. He says, well, have you ever taken anything that wasn't yours? And I said, and he says, well, you're a liar and a thief then, right? And I said, I guess by that definition, I would be. And he says, those are both sins, right? And he says, yeah. And he said, well, you're a sinner too then. And I said, yeah. But Jesus, God says that I will not let the guilty go free. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus himself, the punishment that I deserve, Jesus took on the cross for me. But he didn't stay on the cross. He shed that precious blood that had to be shed on my behalf, on your behalf. They took his body, put it in a tomb, dead, all wrapped up. Put a big stone in front of it. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And I'm here to tell you today that we worship a living God. We worship Jesus Christ. He is a living God. He is different than Confucius. He is different than Mengzi. He's different than all the other people that have lived throughout history. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. There is no other God, no other form of God that rose from the dead and is now sitting at the right side of the Father. There were hundreds of people that talked to Jesus. Jesus ate with people. He walked down the street with people. Then the disciples watched Jesus ascend to heaven. But there were several things that Jesus said. Let's think about this for one moment. Jesus could have said anything that he wanted to after he rose from the dead, right? Everybody agree? Could have said anything he wanted? Yeah, sure. He's God, but he's also risen from the dead. Now he's a special God. He's very special. So anything he wants, what does he say? He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'll be with you through the end of the ages. Is that his final words? Not quite, almost. Later on, right before he rises, he says, you guys need to wait here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. So his final words to us are that you are to be my witnesses throughout the entire world. His final words to the human race. You're to be my witnesses. I'm to be his witness. You're to be his witness throughout the entire world. And like I said, not everyone's had the same opportunities to hear. But today, now you know. So, today are you going to believe what Jesus said? That you're to go and make disciples of all nations? Are you going to obey like Peter did? Go, make disciples of all nations? Everyone's task is a little bit different. Sometimes the other nations can be right here. I'm looking at multiple nations right here, I know. But there's still the unreached peoples that we must reach. And that's the business of what the IMB does, and that's what we do. So I would encourage you today to think to yourself. First of all, am I like Peter? Then I realize that I am a sinful man and that Jesus is who he says he is. Do you realize that we're sinful and that when we're in the presence of God, that we need Jesus Christ to say, don't be afraid? We need him to say that. We don't need to be afraid if we know Jesus personally. We ought to fear for our lives if we don't know Jesus as our personal Savior. Because tomorrow, you may not be here. And if you don't know Jesus and you stand in front of him, you will be afraid because you will be cast away from him for eternity in a place called hell, a place of suffering for eternity. That is what the Bible teaches. That's not Mark's thinking. That's what the Bible teaches. And that's what will happen. So, if we're to believe what Jesus says, and then just simply obey his words. And he'll bless us just as he blessed Peter and all the disciples at that day and time as they left everything and followed him. The rest of the Bible comes from the disciples and all of the activities that happen after this day. Pastor, do you want to do an invitation or do me too? Okay. If today you don't know for sure that if you're to die, that you would be with Jesus. Today is the day where you can make that decision. And it's really, Jesus did not make the gospel difficult. Actually made it very, very simple for us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will be saved. The Bible also says that God so loved the world, God so loved each one of us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that he gave Jesus. He gave Jesus to die on the cross and rise again. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And perish means to be separated from God forever and suffer. Jesus suffered in our place so we don't have to suffer. So it's a wonderful gift that he offers for free. We don't have to do anything other than to believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and believe that Jesus can from the inside change us. And that's called repentance, where we turn from our sin and follow Jesus, just as Peter did. Away from me, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Come and follow me. Same thing in our lives. So, just everyone bow our heads. Nobody looking around, please. If today you do not know for absolutely sure that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven, would you raise your hand? If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, suffered in your place, and that you're willing to repent your sins, Jesus has already given you eternal life. Today, nobody has raised their hand. But I want to make sure. I'm going to say a prayer, and if you don't know for absolutely sure, I'd like you to just kind of pray along with me. And then you can kind of nail it down for sure that you know that you've received eternal life. In fact, Jesus tells us in his word that there's one reason why he wrote the Bible. And it says, these things I have written so that you may know that you have eternal life. I want everyone today to make sure that you know that you have eternal life. So let's pray together. Just pray this prayer with me, and you can nail it down and make sure that you have eternal life. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. Heavenly Father, I know that Jesus, your Son, lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead so that I could have eternal life with you. Thank you for doing that. I'm also willing today, knowing that I'm a sinner, I'm willing to repent of my sins and follow you wherever you lead. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If that was the desire of your heart, today you have become a child of God. You are now in his family, and you have eternal life. Jesus said, these things I've written so that you can know. You don't have to hope, you don't have to guess, but now you know. You have eternal life. Thank you.